You shot me. And you murdered my friends.
Yeah, man.
And you dumped us in the lake.
Pretty much.
This is episode 451 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of January 17th through January 23rd, 2026. What's new this week? The new issue of Germinal, Sandro Morena, The Joy of Militancy, from germinalonline.org, a site in Italian. This is a write-up of a memorial celebrating Sandro Morena, quote, comrade oral historian activist, unquote, who is also the theme of the latest issue of Germinal the magazine. Quote, leafing through it, you can almost hear Sandro talking, his many lives, his thirst for knowledge, his way of making oral history like bread with his hands, are conveyed through contributions that are both lucid and moving, unquote. Sounds like a fun memorial, and maybe a fun man, definitely a touching report back.
The Anarchist Bookstore That Shouldn't Be, from Fifth Estate by Carl Kraft, a retrospective written by a volunteer there on Wooden Shoe Bookstore, which was started in 1976 and is still going strong. A nitty-gritty overview on running an anarchist business, aka volunteer collective, in the U.S. Quote, what makes Wooden Shoe an anarchist project, in addition to the store's content, is the volunteers' ongoing attempts within the project to relate and interact with each other based on a wide array of anarchist constructs, non-hierarchical interactions, consensus among equals, including in decision-making, inclusivity, and transparency with sharing of procedures, finances, and history. They also strive for ongoing self-awareness and self-evaluation of our identities and personal histories and their impact on involvement and relationships in the shoe. Many view the project in the context of the long-standing anarchist tradition of prefigurative politics, trying to embody the visions of a collective anarchist future. Unquote. And like that.
The long and short of political nihilism as we find it now, from Ignited in Dark by Wolfina. I am not objective about this piece. Too much of it resonates for me. The coinage of fuck shit as a term to mean all the things we don't want, because none of the existing terms that I know of are adequate. The conflation of nihilism and anarchism as ways to reject simplistic responses or assumptions. And not least, the definition of nihilism as, quote, the school and frame of analysis that posits that there is no precise beacon of truth and perfect substance at the root of any concept, convention, institution, or combination of these. It proposes a sobering lack of entitlement to any grand, shining prize for good behavior, as judged by the good center of all things. It proposes a lack of panic in the realization that there is no book of truth secluded in God's nightstand in the universe that says, for a perfect truth, that fascism is undesirable dog shit, unquote. That said, there's still some essentializing language here, working people this and that, there's still some activism implied, if not explicitly advocated for. But Wolfina hits enough of my sweet spots that I will give this piece the benefit of the doubt. Unlike too many of the commenters in this thread, I'd say. Seems like a lot of bad faith readings, so I guess some kind of nerve was hit, whatever that means.
Isn't it every time you touch something a nerve is hit? Isn't that how, like, body works? I'm not a biologist.
Metaphors.
I'm just,
we
oh,
like
I know,
metaphors.
But
I just fuck with the metaphors.
I never thought about it before that
well,
it
now,
bothered me.
Okay.
I guess a nerve was it. That was easy.
Aww.
In Contempt number 3, from incontempt.noblogs.org. This is the thing that It's Going Down people are doing now. It's a digest of stories on political prisoners around the world, some of them even anarchists. There are some wins, like RICO charges getting dropped against all 61 Stop Cop City defendants, and partial success for Palestinian support hunger strikers. We like good news. Good news is good.
1 year of the ACF from Anarchist Communist Forum. Anarcho-commies gonna organize. Quote, at a private conference the following day, roughly 40 members of three anarchist groups based in Melbourne, Brisbane, and Geelong voted to found the Anarchist Communist Federation. While the organization first declared itself to the public on May Day 2025, the work of establishing committees, adopting shared documents and procedures, and integrating organizational work began that weekend. Unquote. Anyone hear steering committee in there? Days of talking about how to talk? Meetings about meetings? Appeal to mass appeal? Lowest common denominators? Coerced unity? Just me? Probably just me.
Rad lives in the big prison on Workshops for Gaza from Anon. Part 2 of the online drama started last week by Workshops for Gaza, who have called out Eric King and Casey Goonan mostly for being white. Anyway, this piece is about W4G, its response tactics, its main public organizing efforts, and its, quote, clarity on colonialism and imperialism, unquote. That last segment is full of jargon and assertions. I'm sure it makes sense to someone who already agrees with it, but it definitely riffs Maoist rhetoric more than a nuanced understanding of identity, race, ethnicity, intersectionality, etc. This whole piece started out some kind of way, but I'd say it didn't stick the landing.
Kill the Corporation in Your Pocket from Slingshot by Stu, subtitled Reevaluating the Place of Smartphones in Our Lives and Communities. A thoughtful exploration of some emotional and practical responses to our unreflective over-reliance on phones, specifically smartphones. Not a tech critique, but a harm reduction perspective, looking to limit, challenge, and remind us of the options that existed before these gadgets and that still exist. Quote, my particular dumb phone is very slow to type on, so frequently I am asked how I can deal with the slowness, how frustrating it must be. To this I say that I am not really texting, as most people have come to understand that term. It is more akin to writing an email or a letter, an activity that requires both attention and intention. I would not whip out my pen and paper in the middle of a conversation to draft a letter to my grandmother. Not only would I not be able to divide my attention adequately for the task, but it would obviously be considered rude to whomever I was physically present with. And when I do write letters, I am not frustrated by how slowly my hand moves across the page because I am focused on the task before me and enjoying it. Unquote. Some good tips in here.
Unexpected Items, Issue 1, January 2026, for printing. From unexpecteditems.noblogs.org, tagline, Anarchist Paper of Beautiful Inconveniences, an 8-page zine based in the UK with bits about nuclear power, the ravages of the economy, a poster reprint, a quote by Rudolf Rocker, etc. Quote, so let's take heart. Maybe the constants in this society don't need to be so constant after all. And if we can win ourselves the time and space to think, free from the compulsory droning roar, who knows what thoughts we could hear ourselves having, even for the first time in our lives. Unquote.
Obituaries, Pete C. Burns is no more, from thepensivequill.com by Christopher Owens. A death notice that talks much more about music than about anarchy. Quote, from Good Vibrations through to the Harp Bar, the Manhattan, the Anarchy Center, and through three variations on Gyro's Warzone Center, Pete C. helped to create and nurture not just punk rock in Belfast, but also an alternative lifestyle and way of thinking during a time of intense conflict and ideological rigidness. Eternal respect is due. Unquote.
Audio and Video, The Coming Climate Catastrophe. From Embers, 1 hour and 7 minutes. An interview of two people who did a presentation on climate change. Based on the book Desert and the perspective therein, these two talk about doing our own research as non-scientists, predicting what changes will happen based on climate change, and some ways to respond to and or prepare for those changes. Plenty of links here for supplemental information, including Desert on the Anarchist Library.
Gattino of the Black Rose Federation on Anarchism, Anti-Imperialism, and Internationalism from the Final Straw Radio, 1 hour and 13 minutes. A talk with a long-term member of Black Rose and a previous member of a Cuban anarchist group. The sound here is not great, which makes this really hard to listen to slash follow. Bursts asks fine introductory questions. I don't hate Gattino's understanding of our current situation as an issue beyond whatever asshole is in office. Blaming everything on capitalism seems simplistic. Surely there are many confluent factors, but I didn't expect to agree even that much with a platformist, so listen at your own risk is what I'm saying.
Welcome to the Anarchist News Podcast. I'm Donnie fucking Don't.
And this is Artemis.
And today, the topic of the week that we'll be reading on is Kill the Corporation in Your Pocket. January 19th, 2026. It is an article from Slingshot 143. That's the winter 2025 article. can read that either on our webpage or from Slingshot directly.
Yeah, so this is by an individual named Stu, and I'm just going to read sort of the opening section here titled "Reevaluating the Place of Smartphones in Our Lives and Communities." In summer 2002, Slingshot published an article against the growing social dependency on cellular phones. There were no dumb phones at the time. A flip phone was only considered dumb, not due to the supposed technological superiority of other devices in the market, but instead because of the things it fostered. Isolation, dependency on the state and large corporations, ecocide in the Congo and across the world, yes, folks were talking about this decades ago, and a lack of autonomy and critical thinking skills for whoever was unfortunate enough to get sucked into buying one. Today, the concept that a dumb phone would be too much for any consumer is widely considered laughable, if it's even considered at all. Even in radical spaces, downgrading from a smartphone to something that has physical buttons and can't access Instagram is just above the limits of people's imaginations. What happened to the resistance, the steady invasion of these parasites into our lives? Have we been totally fooled? Well, yes. Maybe we can't be too hard on ourselves. The forces that have pushed these things on us and our communities are much, much bigger than us, and for better or worse, the world has changed since 2002. The Luddites of the early aughts did not have to get by in the world we live in today with its demands for efficiency, immediacy, and connectivity. Our social landscape has changed, and with it, so have our needs and challenges. But damn it, we're anarchists. We're self-proclaimed co-creators of the liberated world to come, fighting for all that is autonomous, and yet daily we sell ourselves out, sacrificing the very skills necessary to support our own individual autonomy. How will we liberate our communities from oppression if we can't free ourselves from the most obvious and most optional mechanisms of capitalist psychological manipulation? It's time for us to reimagine the tech resistance. New ways of living must be found in our current version of the techno hellscape if our movement is to be successful. Movements are to be successful, excuse me. Luckily, awareness of this issue is stronger than ever. People are disillusioned and want a way out. But we are also deep in the shit that nobody knows where to start. Your ownership of a device and its ownership over you are all but a foregone conclusion. But there are some of us who have taken the leap of faith and are here to tell you not to fear it. It can be done. The below are a few critical learnings for my personal journey of ditching my smartphone and the journeys of others who have walked with me. This is not a guide to the best smartphone alternatives. These exist online if you look for them. Before you go shopping, you must take a hard look at yourself and your needs. Everyone is different and the way is complicated. You will have to do the work and you will have to think for yourself. What a blessing. So that's kind of the opening primer introduction, you could say, to the longer article, which we're going to jump around here. I think it'd be good maybe just to read the headings to give people an idea of where the discussion in the article goes, if that's still with you.
Sure. Yeah. So the first one is ground yourself in reality.
And, kill your shame. Kill your shame, for it does not belong to you.
Yeah. And then let's see. Adjust your expectations and embrace.
Embrace sacrifice. Sorry, you like cut out when you were talking. I just heard embrace and then you cut out.
Yes, embrace sacrifice.
And then that's the last section. So it kind of gives you an idea. Yeah. One thing I want to say, and there's a commenter that mentions this, is they're absolutely right. 2002 is different. But I think of like if I want to authenticate into something like two-factor authorization and you don't have your phone. Like you could, but then it becomes harder. Like if I want to get into my email for work, the two-factor authentication is mandatory. It's a part of like the IT team puts that in, and you can't talk out of it, from my understanding, really. So like I need a cell phone. So it's like also or banking or all these other things. Like it's more and more the cell phone has worked itself into an essential factor of the world functionally.
Yeah, I mean, they tore out all the payphones. So, like, when you think about walking around the world without your cell phone, it's not even, like, going back to 2002, you know?
Right.
Going back to 2002, and no one has a landline, and there are no payphones.
Right. Yeah. It's also, I liked what they mentioned, is, like, anarchists can't imagine not having Instagram. I want to go further. What about Signal? So much of activism is on Signal. And if you're not on it, you're not in the discussions. Just straight up. That's just like you're not going to get in.
And honestly, to be fair, Signal was one of my big reasons for upgrading to a smartphone originally, 2015. Really? I mean, the ability to have... I mean, some phones don't encrypt anything. Mm-hmm. You know? I hadn't had social media before that or anything, so I didn't really have any other needs for it. I did immediately discover and enjoy the GPS. But yeah, mm-hmm. Signal was the main sell. It was like I was just walking around sending people SMS all the time. And they were like, why are you sending me? Why are we having, you know?
Right. Right.
And, I don't know.
People in my circles are moving towards maybe we shouldn't be using Signal so much. Because there's that article from, was it The Last Straw, where they're like, you know, what happens when Signal goes? Like, so many people are dependent on it that it's another crutch. Excuse me.
I mean, I guess I don't understand what that means.
What?
Like, what do they mean when it goes?
Like, if you were to lose Signal tomorrow for some reason, like any app, like if Signal just stopped, what would you do?
Like, text them on a different app.
Well, that's the thing, is so many people are dependent, and it was just questioning. And to them, it was an alternative app to Signal. But I think the question should be like, I know people, if they break their phone, right? Like, they can't reach out to the people unless we have a designated meeting time. I'm just talking about the dependency is all I mean.
No, I mean, I guess to me, that has nothing to do with Signal. That's just a phone thing.
No, I know. I'm going further with it.
Yeah, like to me, like the question then isn't Signal, it's just thing in general.
Right.
Question there, I think that for as long as there's texting, we probably have something equivalent to Signal.
Mm.
And so I'm not too concerned about.
Yeah, I wasn't meaning to target Signal, but that anarchists have become dependent on the phone, usually through Signal. Or if they have social media for their groups, like Instagram and things like that.
I mean, I think, Signal, I talked about this with someone recently about dating app. You know, they really found dating apps extremely off-putting, understandably so. And we were kind of looking at, like, why or at least were. Thing is like, people are extremely busy, Matt, right? Like, people become increasingly busy. Mm-hmm. A lot of us, you know, our 40-hour work week doesn't include substantial commute and, breaks or whatever other maintenance stuff we have to do at home. And so, yeah, people are pretty strapped for time. And it's like, okay, well, this is how you meet somebody has interests similar to yours. Like, I don't know, like, I never wanted to go out to meet someone at like a fucking bar or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, now imagine but being also, straight edge. Oh man, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah, but I mean, also, like, you know, if the 10 other people who volunteer at the anarchist bookstore aren't the one, then like, okay, so not the bar and not the bookstore, the Mushroom Hunters Club in my area are predominantly senior citizens, you know? I feel like you need to a lot prior to dating apps. And people, it's true, people don't have time for that. And I think a lot of that is, you know, Signal and the way that we use similar messaging apps, I think is kind of the same, where like, what it, I mean, yes, we didn't used to rely on those, and also like it didn't used to be able to turn out essentially like anti-ice flash mob. You know what I mean?
Right. True.
Like the face of protest, you know, is very different now, right? I don't think that it's a coincidence, you know, that protests moved the way they did in 2020. Mm-hmm. Even versus like 2014, you know,
right.
Like in 2014, they like popped off kind of like one at a time every few weeks, you know, over the course of the summer and on to 2015. And then 2020, it all happened.
I know nothing about that. I wasn't like a conscious human being. I don't think yet. But
imagine 2020, but like a slow drip, you know?
Right.
Where like most cities have wrapped up by the time the next one pops up. But yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think that, and that, to me, that's part of it, is like the issue being that, like, and they kind of address this in the article, like, if you are not moving at the pace that the rest of society is moving at in your activities, then yeah, you're just late to the party on everything. And I'm not talking about actual parties, but I mean, like, literally, if your opponents are using Signal, you know, to, or whatever, to coordinate their fucking raids on your neighborhoods, and you're using, I don't know, whatever fucking carrier pigeon app, like, thing, since we don't have phone trees anymore, because if you're gonna have a phone tree, you might as well just have texting. You know, I mean, like, you're kind of sitting ducks, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's in, when I went to, I'll say this, I went to Minneapolis the other weekend to exercise my right to protest, and came across a neighborhood I'm not going to mention, but they were organized in this really robust way. And I'm not talking about Rapid Response, which this particular network was connected to, but it wasn't primarily a Rapid Response effort, but it was just a community organization. They organized on Discord, which I assume many, many people know what that is, but it's, you know, there's different channels with text, and there's servers, right? Almost like forums, for those that don't know, that have like voice and text options and things like that. But this was organized. I'm going to look at it. So it has like general, local happenings, urban design, gardening, and tenant organizing. There's community action, lost and found, animal rescue, needs and haves, cop watch, health and safety, emergency, job search. And then it has like particular like streets, depending on where you're at. And then it has a bunch of other things like fix it, tech support, media share. And I have to admit, that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
But on the same end, kind of getting back to the topic, it's like you don't need a cell phone necessarily to access that, which is good.
And it can be on that's true. You can access. Yeah, this person in this article does differentiate between phones and laptops.
Which is true. Like, not- I think if I'm on a YouTube, which, you know, I'm on and off. It's probably one of my most common apps. On my computer, I engage with YouTube very differently than if I was on my phone, because they're designed differently. You know, with shorts on YouTube, it pushes that on you. But it doesn't work as well. Like the scrolling mechanism on a laptop, right, the psychological part of it, I think is just different, probably. You know? Yeah. That's my pseudo-scientific understanding, but...
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do... you know, think that they're getting away from some of the more like parasocial aspects of social media are really good and really approachable. You know, we were talking about this before we started, but yeah, we met through Instagram, and I had a sizable and so I was very hesitant to give it up, because it's cool to have like kind of a large for stuff. But yeah, a few months ago, I finally did, you know, and I had gotten rid of Twitter already months before that.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and so life without those things is fine, you know, honestly. If I do need to scratch that itch, I go dig around. Yeah, in a Discord with actual humans that I know in my city, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I catch up on or whatever, you know, which is like, I got really bad for a while, even, you know, where it's like, oh, I could scroll or I could answer messages from humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, being I'm entirely off. Something this bright. I got a blue sky, and one of the reasons I do like that as a replacement is I don't have another good news aggregator. If someone could give me another good news aggregator, I think I could be off social media entirely. But Blue Sky, you can set it to only show you people that you follow and never suggest anything to you. And then you can ask it to show you that in chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, when I, and then I was telling you this, I'm a terrible follower. I have a bunch of mutuals, but except for like 24 news accounts, I have them all muted.
Oh.
And so, yeah, so when I open, so it's when I look at it, yeah, there's usually like half a dozen to a dozen new posts, you know, I check it a couple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
During some downtime. And yeah, there's not much, you know. So yeah, it doesn't have the infinite scroll or the suggestions or any of the algorithmic. And so it does make it like a pretty limited engagement, which I like.
Right.
But I feel like one of the things I definitely need is like a news aggregator. Because
yeah, I agree with that. No, I'm on a similar thing with you.
Yeah, I do think that getting out and trying to like busy yourself with is one of the things that helps get off the phone. That's one of the things that this person talks about is like, it's not just like an on-off switch. Like most of us have like some level of tech addiction, you know?
Right.
You know, whether it's like smoking for the brain or drinking at the end of the day for the brain, you know, whatever the way you use it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we should look at, and again, coming back to the no shame, right? I'm not interested in shaming people because it is a systematic assault on our attention span, on the way we engage with social relationships. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, we need to keep up with the pace of the world, but is that also the faster and faster movement of the world? And of course, that's the shrinking of space and time. That's kind of what the system is benefiting from at once. Should we be fighting that more actively, right? But also while staying in communication with people around us, literally and figuratively communication, in touch, maybe whatever. I don't know. I just don't want to feel like we have to cede all this ground, which is what I think I like about the article is it is a form of, it's another front for confrontation with the interests or the agenda, whatever you want to say, of the capitalists that be, as well as the state actors.
I think, yeah, maybe thinking about being a lot more intentional about the way we use those right. devices. You know, I think, right, if one thinks that if they use it for organizing, then they, and not thinks that they do, if one uses it for organizing or staying in touch with your, like, groups to mobilize, it's very easy for that to then also become your, like, go-to method of socialization.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that speed is not necessarily appropriate for socializing and friendships and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
And yeah, like maybe our groups need to build slowly but act quickly, you know?
Right. Say that again. I want to sit with that for a minute.
Like build slowly but act quickly, you know? Yeah. So like, not thinking, yeah, that you can form relationships in a Discord, you know, knowing that like that takes potlucks, range days, I don't know, community garden days, whatever the things that you actually do to are, you know.
Yeah,
there's a group I'm part of that spent a lot of the socializing is Discord based, and we always, every so often, we just get some new person, yeah, who just like does not know how to behave and is acting like they're in like Reddit or something.
Oh,
like dunking on people and shit, and it's like very disorienting. Because I've been with the group long enough to know a lot of the people in person. And so like watching some new person that like, you know, we may have met once and was quite person. Yeah. Taking people to task in very abrasive ways is like very off-putting.
Right.
And definitely like a product of the medium.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, I think of that. I mean, what is it? Oh my God, I'm blanking on the name of the book. Bowling Alone. Right. So staying busy, but third spaces, I mean, there's some studies that have come out, you know, teenagers, everyone talks about, teenagers with their phones, and children with their phones, but like, what are the third spaces we're providing them?
Right.
Or are they allowed to make for themselves? Because everything now, every time I see a video or I talk to younger people and they're like, dude, I go out and I'm going to get harassed by someone. And of course, where I live, well, not of course, but where I live, it's primarily non-white. And so they're targeted, there's intersections with that too.
That someone who will harass them is like police. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or some nerve adult. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The Karen type or whatever you want to get at. But, and so not only are there no third spaces that intersect with different things, but yeah, like, what are we letting them do? There's nothing. So of course they're going to go online, which is in a sense their third space. It might look like that. I don't think that's correct because it is just a corporate, right? And there's all the algorithm stuff that goes into it and so forth. But yeah, part of the blaming kids, I'm not into that.
Yeah, well, and a lot of that is like really to like staying busy to get off your phone. Not that it needs to be done on a governmental level, but like Baltimore, the mayor there just reduced quote unquote crime, you know, for what that's worth, by whatever, it's as low as it's been in like 50 years, basically. Did like give kids after school and summer programs. It's like, of course, like if you don't give people anywhere, or if people don't have anywhere to be, you know, and we always have to like, yeah, exist on the corner or whatever in cities where simply gathering actually has been criminalized a lot of the time, or at least like the activities that one engages in while they gather, right, have been criminalized, right? If you don't have public bathrooms,
like, right,
then like, and you're trying to hang out with your friends, like, yeah, on a corner somewhere, or like, and someone's gonna want a drink, you know, and like, etc. It's, you know, and especially if you're young, probably someone's gonna start shit with passerby. Existing, you know, is basically illegal. If it's, you know, and simply by and adults are not, you know, much better, basically, where it's like, yeah, we need places. And yeah, third spaces or however you want to name them is raise it. I think part of why people feel like getting off the smartphone treadmill is so hard is that like the infrastructure, right, is not, and both the social infrastructure and physical infrastructure, right? So also like the norm, right, are just not there. Like when I, you know, I'm old enough to remember life before cell phones, and it's like not weird for us to like go to a friend's house and just knock on their door to see if they were
right. Like, I remember that.
That's not considered appropriate behavior.
Point. Right. That's what I was getting at. I like this article is it shapes society. The phone is not just something in the mix. It is it is defining social relationships, how we engage, the speed of the world. Right. Which,
yeah,
I think some anarchists might be like, I'm not interested in the cell phone. That's just another commodity or another whatever, another component. But it's like, it's a very essential part to the way the modern world works. And if we don't engage with it, what are we doing? And so, yeah. So I like that point. Yeah. Showing up at someone's door and just knocking, or, you know, one thing that I think of, and this is what the article's, sort of gets at is, I'm going to quote, in our culture, no altar receives such fervent worship as that of the god of convenience. Capitalism and its goons have turned our bodies, minds, time, and experiences into something that can be bought, sold, and stolen, not only by nameless conglomerates, but also by each other. Not every second spent battering ourselves or producing in some way is considered wasted. Or excuse me, every second at the beginning of that sense. Every second not spent bettering ourselves or producing in some way is considered wasted. Naturally, then, we have developed an insatiable hunger for optimizing every part of our lives. We trim the fat of life, even though it is the very thing that keeps us warm. So think about the convenience thing. You mentioned the GPS. Oh, man. My anarchist friends here are like, we've got to get off the GPSs, man. Like, we got to, you know, it's not get off of it, but we got to build just knowledge of how to get from one place to the other for a variety of reasons, you know?
Yeah. The way I navigate the world is very different now. And to be fair, like I've lived in a few places. And the one I'm living in now is the first one that I moved to post GPS is becoming common. And yeah, I mean, I feel like my mental maps of other cities were like the main thoroughfare and then things branching off from there. And I had singular ways that I would go places, you know? But the place I live right now is one of those cities that like just got bisected six ways for Sunday by the highways in the 50s. And like, if you miss an off, like you are going to the other side of a river and through a mountain before you get a chance to turn around. And I will admit, like, I cannot imagine having to have learned to navigate this city in its current layout.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I lived in DC for a while and like the metro is really right there, you know? And so like learning that without GPS felt easy. We did have like MapQuest, so you'd like online beforehand and just get directions from like whatever the closest metro stop was easy enough. Yeah. But navigating the current city without a GPS it still kind of sounds like a nightmare half the time.
Right. I like article mentions, you can always ask someone, what's the best burger place or how do you get there? But on the same end, like, we live in a really asocial world where I feel like even trying to ask for advice like that, I've been rebuffed asking about that stuff because people are just like, why don't you look it up?
Yeah, I remember the first time that I asked someone for directions and they just pulled out their phone to show me and I felt dumb, you know, because I guess I could have done the same thing, you know, and it just hadn't occurred to me. Because I lived outside New York up and said I was going to New York. But yeah, ask someone how to get somewhere. And also, that's a grid. I've never, other than for a couple months for a gig, I've never lived west of the Mississippi. I'm extremely east.
Okay.
But I've lived all up and down the east.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't actually expect you to answer that question. That was sorry, I totally derailed that on accident.
Oh, good. Go out and live in the West. I think they find me abrasive.
Oh man, you gotta come out to the Midwest. You hear that shit, man? That passive aggressive shit, it's nuts. I hate it out here.
Yeah.
I'm curious too. One part of it, the article talks about it a little bit, but with the convenience thing, the fact that the phones have everything or seem to have everything we need, music, social relationships via social media and texting, it's a camera, it's a recorder, you know, it's all, you know, the multiplicity of things available via the phone.
Right.
Like, it's also part of it. Cause then it's, you know, as someone I identify, and I think I live pretty minimalist, though maybe not according to some. But in a sense, I remember reading something. It was an article or whatever. Maybe it was just a forum post that, to be a minimalist, like you should have a phone because it's all in one spot. You own less by having a phone than if you had a calculator, a map, music play. You see what I'm saying? Divide the phone into different parts. And I was like, I don't know if I agree with that. Like, I don't know. Right. Like, yeah, it's literally physically one thing, but it is many things at the same time. And that part of the problem.
Yeah, no, I definitely remember the first big, like tech jump for a lot of the like anti-Civ kids that I knew. You know, we were all part of that like vegan, straight edge traveler, you know, travel crime evasion milieu, like mid-2000s, you know, and the first, yeah, and people didn't have shit a lot of the time, but the first really big leap I saw was the iPod, right? Like that was the first one where like it took, we were slow adopters, but once one person in our social circle got it and it was like you don't have like a CD book in your backpack or like a dozen tapes that you're traveling with, you know, like you're just traveling with the fucking musical library of Alexandria, you know, and it's like, fuck, that's a hard one to argue against.
Right. Shit. I mean, I do that. I mean, I'm on music streaming apps more than I should. And I'm actually in the middle of transitioning off of some of those for,
iPod wasn't streaming. The iPod was just like,
right.
Put 180 gigabytes of fucking music on it. And that was, but pirating was like super easy.
Like, well, I'm working there. But my point is like the consuming also on certain, you know, apps is ethical, right? Consumption, yada, yada, yada. But like, I mean, yeah. I have a bunch of CDs now. And it's funny when I go on road trips, particularly with some of my more techie adjacent friends, they're almost sort of like, are you really playing CDs? Some of it, of course, from some anarchist, I got some anarchist stuff, right? And so, I mean,
it's like this person says in the article, I mean, it's true. Like CDs, you like pay for by the pound at like thrift stores and stuff at this point.
Right.
You always go through and you get some Aqua, some like Benga Boys or whatever.
Yeah, and it's also, you're not like, for those on Spotify, like, man, it pushes just slop at you, like what's just popular. And it's the same, like, you know, it has auto generated playlists and they're all the same playlist. And I'm sure if you're a musical snob, you can kind of play the algorithm a bit, or algorithms rather. But if you're not, like, if you're not in the know, so to speak, on that, like, it's easy to get confused and led down a certain musical path, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting, but with CDs, there's intentionality about it, I think.
Yeah, because Spotify really narrows the way that I listen to music a lot of the time, where like I discover an artist and then I like give their stuff a quick listen, find like six songs that I like, and then I listen to those six songs until I am sick of them, and then I move on to a different.
Yes, song. I've been caught in that. Or yeah, or it takes away music that I like. So unless it's in my liked songs or I make a playlist, suddenly the songs I want to listen to aren't being pushed. And I don't know much about how Spotify works. If there's certain like, oh, this artist pays more, so we'll push their music. I don't know if that's how it works. I'm not claiming that, but I'm curious.
I think certain bands I like are like rebelling against taking down their music, which good for them before them. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Like I was part of a family plan with a bunch of people on Spotify, all paying like $3 or whatever, and they all just switched to Tidal. Maybe it's somehow more ethical, I guess. I don't understand, but it doesn't do podcasts. So now I'm just like out in the wilderness by myself paying full. That's an interesting podcast.
I feel like I'm only on Spotify at this point because I pay for my, me and one of my roommates are on a plane together. And I'm like, maybe I should tell him, fuck, you got to get your own. Because now the prices went up. Fuck, man. I got to get off this motherfucker.
No, you got to get on the family plan, dog.
That's what we are. We're on this thing. Well, I guess it's the duo plan or something.
No. I'm talking about like six people for like $23 or whatever. Okay. This is not an ad for Spotify. This is this podcast. Yeah, I mean, I guess that is another one of these things, right? Where like with phones, but also just with streaming stuff in general, as it like gets harder and harder to just share passwords and stuff like that. We should, yeah, take a serious step back and consider whether or not, like, you know, the golden age of easy apps being over means that we should like really reassess how we engage with this stuff.
I agree. Yeah. Huh.
Figuring out what else there is. Yeah, my car also still has a CD player in it because it's a 2008. And yeah, it's fantastic.
I mean, I have a relatively new car that I allowed myself to get one when I got out of college, and I regret it because it's, now that I'm like, oh, how techy it is. I'm like, oh, I have like zero privacy in this fucking thing, actually. But it still has a CD player, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, that is my big fear for when my current car dies is the 2008 Yaris is about as stripped down as it can get. And I don't know if I'll find another one, like, manual. It's not a manual, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, an analog, for the lack of a
better
word.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll be honest, I'm kind of... Have we spoken enough? I feel like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we could get into like the anti-tech argument, which I'm not really. I don't think that's what this article is trying to prompt.
Yeah, no, I don't get the vibe that we're on some like, you know, not rocking cell phones because it's ethical or whatever. Although I the idea of building up devices is fascinating. My partner used to give me grief for how much I used my phone, and we would have arguments over whether doing drastically different things on your phone, you know, counted as all things on your phone, because they preferred to have like a radio and then a laptop. And, you know, they used their phone for basically just like dual phone and text things, you know, right. And would use a laptop for things. Email and videos, whatever. Yeah, and then like just walks around the house listening to like radio, fucking radio. And I was like, well, I just do all those things on my phone. But it is that at some point there is like a weird, weird thing where you're getting everything from one thing, and that one thing is watching all the other things you're doing, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think the splitting of devices. I also feel like from an anarchist perspective, that'd be like more safe. Like that'd be in my mind, I have a strong sense of like, I feel like that's better security in a sense. Like if you don't have all your eggs in one basket, like you lose your phone versus, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'd have to think about what that would look like. But initially, that's a strong thought I have right away.
Yeah. And for privacy purposes, if you're logged in on the same Google account on your laptop and your phone and your, you know, whatever else, then you give that up to some degree. But
yeah.
I do think I'm pivoting back to the iPod in the near future. I think that's
I've been on that a little bit, man. Me too.
It was interesting because the process of like planned obsolescence happened really quickly with the iPod, where like when they first came out and the first like several, you know, probably like half a dozen models, or you can find them, they have a metal back on them, and like a tiny screen, you know, and the little like wheel on them, and those you like. I used to bike everywhere with them, and it would constantly like fall out of my pocket and like hit my spokes and go flying into the road. And like the metal backing had like dents and shit in it, and it still worked like just fine. And then they basically discontinued those and only made ones with screens. And so anytime you dropped it, like now your shit was all busted up and shattered.
Yeah, I think about that. The destructible with like the Nokia and all of that, man. Like the jokes.
Oh yeah,
about
the Nokia brick.
Right. Yeah. I remember my first. I didn't really know Nokias too much when I was younger, but I remember the meme of like there was like someone throws a Nokia phone and it cut to like not like the phone hitting the Twin Towers. And they're like, it would have survived.
And that's another one of those things. Like, not now. Now I'm just like waxing nostalgic, but like also, one of the most jarring things I remember of switching from, yeah, my like dumb flip phone to a smartphone in 2015 is that like my dumb flip phone lasted 3 to 4 days on a single charge of the battery, you know?
Oh, yeah. Now, like for most people, your phone won't go a day.
Yeah, no. So yeah, it's interesting that we probably should be drawing some kind of like mental lines of like, as things get shittier and shittier, like at what point at what point does a pivot to something else make sense, right? Where it is, it's like, at a certain level, like pivoting becomes a great inconvenience, you know? Mm-hmm. But also at some point, as everything just gets shittier and shittier, like there may actually be a floor at which point, like the inconvenience or whatever of not having devices actually is more convenient than like various upkeeps.
Mm-hmm.
Those devices, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. My mind keeps going back to that initial conversation was like, what, you know, look at these other protests that have only could have happened because of this, you know, the presence of the phone and social media, but on the same end, I don't know. I have a hard time just accepting that's all we can do, you know?
Well, and it's tough because it's hard to, it's hard to look back and try to gauge, right? Because the protests happening prior to the rapid technology, the opponents also lacked that technology by and large.
Mm, true, true.
And so like, yeah, like you can, you know, take over Paris over the course of a few days or whatever, you know what I mean? And like, yeah, and it takes the army, you know, the better part of a week to get there or whatever. And so if you haven't, you know, seized the armory by then, that's on you. But, I think it's tough to know what it would look like with that kind of like sort of asymmetrical communication. Non-falsifiable. That's the.
Yeah. Okay. I was following where you're just going.
Not really a way to know. Yeah. What I guess.
Okay. Sure.
Asymmetric, like protest would look like.
Yeah.
Like
I like that point. Like they didn't have the same technology either, so their responses look different. But now it's like, did you see that story that came out? Was this on Anarchist News? The fucking FBI just got into some signal ice watch, like court watch for ICE, and now they like could just know when who was going to be there and when, like versus
right.
You know, it used to be the agent had to be in the room or they had to tap your phone or whatever, but now they don't have to.
Yeah, no, I mean this is one of the things when social media was first coming out that we railed hard against, which was like this idea that like. Like a large portion of like FBI, whatever other domestic agencies' budgets used to be just like trying to get a picture of like who knew who, like who was in contact with who, and like what people made up different groups and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean now it's just like we draw the whole thing out for them, you know.
Right. I think of what is it like? Yeah, what you're talking about is social mapping. And it's not like find their Instagram followers or on Signal. You know, if you share groups with someone and you look at their account, you can easily find, you don't have to go through all the lists. You'd be like, oh, this person's in this group, and this group. And so am I. So I know we have this in common.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas like, yeah, they used to, you know, like when we all had dumb phones, we would beyond that. You would have a phone book not in your phone. Like we all kept our contacts in fucking slingshot organizers, and you wouldn't bring that to a protest so that if your phone got confiscated, they didn't know who you knew. You know, like it wasn't, they couldn't go through your phone for pictures or, you know, any of that kind of stuff anyway. Cause like your phone didn't really have enough memory to keep all that shit anyway. But it was just like you didn't even want them to know who you knew, you know?
Wait, say that about the slingshot organizer again. I missed that little part right there. The don't bring it part.
There has a spot in back for contact. And that's like where we used to keep stuff.
Oh, right.
My whole phone book was on paper, and I would open it up and look at it when I needed to call
someone.
Oh. Side of that thing that when people called me, I never had any idea who tried to call me because I was too cool to keep numbers in my phone.
Yeah, I mean, I've been using Slingshot. Let me tell you, well, maybe is this bad to say I used Slingshot when I went to Minneapolis to be like, who, like, what are the cool spots that I should go to that can orient me where I'm at? Let me tell you, it fucking worked. Fucking worked.
Oh, yeah, no. When I first started just like hitchhike around the country and like see what existed where, yeah, I would get into town and one of the first things I would do would just be, yeah, like look in the back of the Slingshot. Someone I was in a group with in the late aughts, early 2010s, used to book us whole like 30 date tours around the country, basically out of the back Slingshot.
That's so fucking good. That's so good. I'm curious, real quick, if we're allowed, if you want to do this, do you have a current Slingshot near you or like a recent one?
I do not.
Okay. Well, I was curious.
Not even.
I was curious because I have the 2026 one. I was just curious. Obviously, we can't have this conversation as much, but in what way? Well, I would know it, but like how small that back, it's that section has gotten, assuredly, right? The places, that list of places has probably gotten much smaller. I found an old Illinois one and there was just so much. And now the Illinois one, I can look at it, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Indiana's 3, Iowa's 3, Kansas 3. You know what it like, but it's, I mean, obviously some of the states might not have ever had strong. Or if I, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, you're telling, like, at some point there had to have been more, right? And that's just,
yeah, because and again, like the whole, like the doxing thing has really changed stuff a lot. Where like you used to put like a prominent punk house in the back of the Slingshot.
Wow.
And you would just never do that.
Right.
That's just would show up.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's also just stuff like that that changed a little bit where, an actual address is something you're going to need something with DMs to get from somebody.
Right. Right.
Gotcha.
Anyway. You got anything else?
No, I just want to say I appreciated this article and, you know, there's what are, we can call small things, so to speak, that are, if you want to use the revolutionary, subversive, radical, and confronting the role of the phone in our life is an example of that. In the same way that I think talking to neighbors can represent a subversive role, or
talking to neighbors is one of the things I'm really big on.
Strangers, dude, people like are on. It's crazy. I'm someone that can talk to strangers about anything. When I'm in Chicago or other major cities, and you take like public transport, like trains. Oh man,
yeah.
There's a joke that people do. They're like, oh, if I go with friends, you know, on some, at least in Chicago, you can change the back of the seat so that it's facing someone else or faces away, depending on how you want to position the seat, kind of. and so I'll adjust the one in front of me so the person would sit next to me or in front of me if they were going to sit there. And the joke is always, can Artemis make a conversation with anyone?
And I love that.
And so, like, my friends will sit next to me and they'll watch, and from MAGA dudes to someone sat next to me or in front of me wearing like a battle vest and like DSA and anarchist stuff. And we chatted the whole time. And someone's like, okay, that was unfair. Like, of course you were going to
playing on easy mode.
Right. But then, like, the MAGA dude, this dude was straight up wearing like a MAGA, and not quite the MAGA hat, but a similar thing. And we talked about guns. We talked about like the Second Amendment and like big tech and big pharma. And now I get most people, like, I get why people wouldn't want to talk to them, but I think there's, it's just cool to be able to, because it's, my friends are like, they can't ever conceive of doing that.
Yeah. The field that I worked in for the 6 years before pivoting recently, I definitely did not have the luxury of not talking to MAGA people.
Oh.
It was just, you know, part of the. I was in 2022. I discovered that I was the place I was working had five dozen employees that I believed for quite a while that I was the only vaccinated person there, and then discovered that there was one other one, and it was this like old like 75-year-old janitor dude who just like refused to talk politics with anyone, and I found out that is because he was like a Democrat.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And so yeah, it was just all talking to fucking Trumpers that year. Fucking, in some ways it sucked, and in other ways, you know, it's like, you know, you feel like at least you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Or like are confident in your ability to communicate with people.
Yeah. I think this is where I'm going to cut it because my dog is
clawing
at the door.
Yeah. And at this point, we're just winding out in different ways. All right, cool. Awesome. That's Donnie fucking Don't.
You shot Artemis.
And you murdered my friends.
We're out.
Yeah. And you done this in the lake.
Pretty much.
Podcast was sound edited by Resonante. The What's New was written by Chisel, read by Chisel, and
Nerve Toucher.
We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarcho curious.